Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Justin, Pete, and Alex.
Hey! Welcome to Comic Book Club.
What's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And Boothman, still dead.
Yeah.
Great. Newsflash.
Yeah, newsflash. Still dead. We're investigating it.
Mm-hmm. Not very intently. We're just leaning back and casually investigating the death of a good friend.
Yeah, a good friend.
It's kind of like True Detective, am I right?
I get that reference because that show's fucking good.
Yeah. But they're taking their time.
True Detective?
Yeah.
Well, it's over
they
a long...
They don't do a lot of detecting.
It's only eight episodes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, they're not doing a lot of detecting. It's true.
Just because they don't have a magnifying glass and a fucking Doctor Who wand or whatever it is you like.
Here's my point. I've watched only two episodes so far, but literally at no point has anybody ever said, a clue!
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Detective show.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's stupid. What a terrible idea for a show. Pete, what are you watching?
I thought you said a coup, and I thought it was Samurai Jack. Yeah, I don't watch True Detective.
Yeah, you watch very old. You watch VHS tapes of Samurai Jack?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Cool,
yep.
Man. Cool. That's great. That's,
Samurai is kind of like a detective, right?
Yeah.
He detects things with his ninja stars by throwing them at people.
Hey, we have a show, right?
It's that
we should
not
do.
Anymore.
It's a
not
pointy,
anymore without.
A pointy magnifying glass.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest we have, and he's one of our favorite guys to have here. He is a busy guy who is writing She-Hulk, Letter 44, Superman, Wonder Woman, and that's this week alone. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Soule!
Yeah! Oh, you first. You first, sir.
All right. Charles.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming back to the show. Thank you for making the time.
It is always a pleasure.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. You're a busy guy.
Yeah. So as to not waste your time, let's get right into it. Let's get to it.
Yes, my time is extraordinarily valuable.
You wrote it. You wrote an entire issue of Thunderbolt at the bar. Is that accurate?
I did. Well, Thunderbolts doesn't take, you know, Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Oh!
Hey, you've been killing Thunderbolts. I don't know why you're throwing it under the bus.
Should we do the Jordan White shout out this early in the show?
Yeah,
no, we usually wait until 5 minutes in. Yeah, he's getting cocky.
Well, the editor of Thunderbolts is here tonight, and so I figured I would, you know, I guess make him feel bad, which is not very nice.
That's
of
great.
Thunderbolts is one of my favorite books to write. It is always a pleasure, and I love it very, very much. How about that, Jordan?
What a love letter.
What a save. Valentine. What a save. After you shit on it, what a nice save.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's what
I
love
think
is.
So too.
Mistakes, is that what love is?
Making mistakes and then sort of fixing them.
Wow.
Well, people only remember the last thing you say, so I just said how much I loved it, and Jordan's already forgotten the rest.
I think you're thinking
of
sociopaths.
Like the characters in Thunderbolts, right?
Oh, great.
Making mistakes and sort of fixing them.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit.
That's
so what can you tell us about the title?
I'm sorry. About what?
Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts.
Which title?
Oh, Thunderbolts. Yeah. Sorry.
About
speaking,
you have all of your titles written in Sharpie on your forearm, right?
Yeah. So Thunderbolts is the one with all the red characters,
and then Ghost Rider.
That is not red. That is not Red Lanterns.
Yeah.
It is. It is a team book that includes the Punisher, Venom, Elektra, Red Hulk, Deadpool, the Red Leader, who is fantastic. Am I missing
Ghost Rider?
Oh, Ghost Rider! Yes, of course, Ghost Rider. Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider.
Johnny
not Daniel Ketch, Ghost Rider.
Of course not.
Yeah, of course not. It's fun. They go out and they do kind of silly missions that are very selfish, and they're not trying to save the world. They're just trying to, like, you know, get over on some people and probably murder some people at the same time. It's a really fun book. Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does actually.
Is that your editor maniacally laughing in the audience? Giggling, I would say.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we joke about it, but you are writing an obscene amount of comic books right now.
Yeah. I did want to talk about the ones that came out this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we turn from red stuff to green stuff? Is that okay? Because
that's great.
You know, it is Christmas time.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Is it?
Complimentary
color. I don't know. Let's talk about She-Hulk number one, which came out this week.
Yes!
Which I thought was great.
Thank you very much.
I thought this was interesting because, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is drawing probably the most on your personal experience. You're not a team of red people going out and killing people, but you are a lawyer. And there's quite a bit of law in this issue.
Yes, that's true. Actually, She-Hulk's office is located in my building.
Okay. Nice.
Her
convenient.
Yeah.
So do you go down and like break stories with her and stuff?
Yeah. Well, you know, the
share cases.
The view out her office is my my office view, which is nice.
That's awesome.
Wait, the new one at the end or in the beginning?
The new one at the end.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So
just a brief recap of the issue, and you guys definitely should pick it up because not only is the writing good, but the art by Javier Pulido is excellent.
Just lovely.
Throughout.
Spectacular.
He's always great. The idea is She-Hulk's been working for this big firm. They can I spoil a little bit of his letter?
Go for it.
Okay. So she's been working for this big firm, finds out they only wanted her for her superhero connections, immediately let her go. She ends up taking this pro bono case, goes through it, and by the end ends up setting up her own personal law firm, where I presume in the next issue she's going to be able to take the cases she wants to take.
Way to ruin the whole comic. Now we don't have to read it.
Need to buy
yes.
It.
Jesus.
That's what we do here.
That's true. And
yeah, go ahead.
Well, the thing that was really fun about writing She-Hulk 1 for me was that, you know, at the beginning, she goes in and she has this meeting with... She's working at a big, you know, Wall Street firm, a white shoe firm, as they're called. And she goes and she has
a
meeting...
Did you say white shoe?
That's what they're called. White
Why
shoe.
Is that?
I don't know.
Well, who has white shoes?
Have you ever seen a really fancy lawyer? They wear white shoes.
I hope I never do.
Well, then, if you've never seen a fancy lawyer with white shoes, then I guess...
I think you're thinking of the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
He's the fanciest lawyer.
He is the fanciest lawyer.
I practice law.
The title of the law firm is also kind of hilarious, by the way.
Payne and Luckberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's P&L. Anyway, so she goes in for this meeting... And the lawyers are just total pricks to her. It's like her year-end review where they evaluate her performance over the year and say whether she did a good job and whether she's going to get a bonus. And that is something that actually happens to, you know, lawyers who work in those firms. It happened to me. And you go in and you're like, I've sacrificed my entire life this entire year. And now these two, like, old white dudes are going to sit there and they're going to tell me, you know... Whether or not I get, I don't know. It's awful.
And
it
one of
horrible.
Them is the devil.
They're both the devil. They're all the devil.
And the other one's Al Pacino.
Yeah.
What I really liked about that moment is how you did an amazing job of like setting up the table, and then just like what an amazing kind of
you really
of, like,
set the table.
Yeah, it was
well,
really
you got to set that table.
You got to set that table up. And I read it and I was like, oh my god, I hope she does it. And then when she.
So your last review that they brought you in, they were like, Charles, we love your work here, but you're writing literally 10 comic books right now. And I don't know if we can really have you practicing law. You make a lot of references to the Incredible Hulk during your legal proceedings.
The true version of that review from in my life when it happened was I had this is not. No one cares about this. This is not comic books.
I find this interesting.
Yeah.
I went in. I had brought in a client that it was not going to make or break the firm, but it was a significant amount. If I had brought that client to my own practice, which I didn't have at that point, I would have been like set for like 2 years. And I had the review, and they're like, whatever, dude. And I'm like, are you serious? Look what I did. And they're like, whatever, dude. And then I quit like 2 months later. I was like, forget it. And I started my own practice. So
nice.
Your boss sounds like an asshole surfer guy.
Yeah, that's how they talk.
Yeah.
That's how lawyers talk.
Yeah.
As a writer, you're always going to put a little bit of yourself in every comic, even if it is, you know, vomiting space core or anything like that.
Yeah.
But what's it like when you're writing a book like this where you're kind of stripping away those layers of metaphor quite a bit?
You know, it's actually interesting. I'm finding it very cathartic, which I think is good. You know, I'm able to work out clearly. I might have some issues about my time as a big corporate lawyer. And so it's nice to be able to talk about this stuff. It's also nice to, you know, writing what you know is a maxim for writers, just not just because it creates a good story, but also because it's, like, fun. You get to really kind of get into the minutiae in a way that you don't always get to do otherwise. So me writing a book that's really, like, steeped in the lawyer stuff is great. And you know, I think there's a reason legal dramas continue to be successful on TV and in movies and courtroom things and whatever. And this is my expression of that in a comic book format. And I think it's hopefully people are going
to
dig it.
Yeah. And of course, you went to hell, and that's where you based the Thunderbolts.
Yes. Well, I'm projecting. We'll see what happens.
I would like to say though that
I'll see Boothman there.
Yeah, I would like to say the art is so amazing the way She-Hulk is drawn. It's just such a powerful. Yet that sometimes she looks so small and like it's really it really helps for the story and everything like that. It makes it a very touching and kind of like magical book. And I just also I loved how you're bringing the lawyer stuff, but also your hatred of kids. Like that moment where she's screaming at her children is so funny.
Yes,
she's
well,
like, change the diaper!
Pete, now you're projecting this comic. Yeah.
The art is by Javier Pulido, who is I think his storytelling is one of the strongest things about, he brings a lot to the table, but his storytelling is absolutely spectacular. He also is incredibly focused on, like, doing, he wants to do this book, he wants to make this book as unbelievable as possible. And so, you know, and his version of the most unbelievable as possible is not always the same as mine. And so there's this awesome kind of artistic tension that sometimes gets into it. But the product that we get when we're done, I think it really, really, like, it just gets better and better. You'll see over the next few issues, it's really, really great stuff.
That's awesome.
Well, what did you learn from doing the first issue that you augmented or changed for the second issue?
Well, you know, it's about getting out of his way a little bit. You know, like, if there's sequences, there's a big action sequence in the second issue that where, you know, you actually get to see She-Hulk get into a fight, which you didn't really get to see in the first issue, which is purposeful. You know, like, it's not really going to be a book. There's plenty of books where you get to see superheroes getting into fights, and that's not they'll happen when they happen if they happen organically, but it doesn't have to be there. But in the second issue, we wanted to put one in so that people could see that there actually might be some action in the book from time to time. And now that I saw what he's capable of with two people sitting in a bar having a conversation, I'm like, all right, dude, you know, this is what's happening over the next three pages. Go for it. And and it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Cool. That's awesome.
Let's talk about Superman Wonder Woman
a
little bit.
Yes.
So big stuff happened in there. Mm. You reintroduced Zod and Feora into the DC Universe. So what, I mean, as much as you could talk about it, what was the directive there like? I imagine it was a little bit of, hey, could you bring in the characters from the movie and work them in a little bit? Or did that not?
You know, it wasn't really. It was the only directive I got, I mean, you know, this is breaking it down a little bit, but the only real directive I got was to make it an epic with heart. That was my watchword. Okay,
nice.
And I think that's what the book has delivered. Actually, we're five issues in. The sixth issue ends the first arc, and it's huge. It's really, really, really good. I'm very excited about it. I've seen all the pages. They just came in today. But as far as Zod and Feora and what to do with them, I mean, basically the idea was that we wanted to do something that was going to kind of be worthy of the couple, Superman and Wonder Woman, like, as big as they are and as powerful as they are, you want to give them legitimate adversaries. And Zod and Feora hadn't really been in the DC Universe in the New 52 that much, so it seemed like it would make sense. And the other thing that's nice about it is that I'm portraying them as a Zod and Feora are a couple too, right? So you get...
It's a terrible double date.
Yeah, terrible double date. But you get them sort of a dark reflection. You get to sort of explore if Superman and Wonder Woman went really bad, they would be like this. And so it's you get to, you know, you get to make it more than just a stupid comic book, right?
Wow.
Nice. All right. That's what we're talking about.
That's our turn eyes, but, you know, if you want to call it stupid, I
guess we really learned a lesson about ourselves.
Yeah. He's right. God, we're wasting our lives.
Nah, they're over.
There's nothing to waste.
Lives. Yeah, our lives.
The other thing that's coming up, you're involved in this big crossover that's happening, right?
I'm involved in three crossovers right now.
Right.
Come on.
We're so bragging.
A bunch of crossovers.
We can do crossovers, too.
Yeah, we can do
our lives have crossed over for many years.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'm crossing over with this beer. We'll see what
sound busy.
We'll see how it ends up.
Yeah.
But the Doomed crossover?
Yes, the Doomed
happening.
Crossover, actually.
Yeah, so what can you tell us about that?
Well, let's see. What can I tell you about that? Doomsday.
That's what I asked.
Is what can I tell you about that?
What can I tell you?
I don't know. What can we tell you?
What
about?
Can we tell
so
you?
So Doomsday, big old Doomsday is coming back to the New 52. He already sort of showed up in Superman Wonder Woman number 1 and 2 briefly.
Yeah.
He will have a much more significant role. This is basically our take on Death of Superman from whenever.
Oh, man.
Was it 92 or 96? I always forget.
I think 96.
Was it 96?
Yeah, probably 96.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, so right in the middle of what I said.
Yes.
All right. I believe you. So anyway, so early 90s, it's our take on that. And it's, you know, it's basically me and Greg Pak and Scott Lobdell are working on it. And
it's a great team. Just wanted
I don't
to
know.
Add that. It's a great team.
Look, he's dubious of you because you often hate everything. He's worried about your opinion.
I don't think that's true.
No?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, so basically we're all very aware of what happened back in the day in the earlier one. And so we want to you know, pay homage to that. And but yet, like, you know, nobody likes a shitty cover, right, of a song. So you want to do something that's going to be interesting and has a reason to exist in and of itself. And so, you know, we'll see. We just finished the big – so it starts with this big – you know, big one-shot issue, which I hope has been solicited. If not, whatever. So there's a big, huge, you know, like annual-sized issue that starts it off, which is basically the whole, you know, the thing starts. And it starts where Death of Superman ended, in a way. And it's cool. It's huge. I think we did a really good job with fights, with, like, the fight itself.
It starts with when Superman punches Doomsday at the same time. That Doomsday punches Superman, and they both happen to die. It starts right there.
That's what happens if you punch another person in the fist. I'll show you. Come here.
Okay. You're going to die as well?
Yeah.
This is going to be great for
that's
me.
That's not what happened.
this is your chance, man. It's going to be dead. It's your show now.
So Superman, the whole death of Superman thing hasn't happened yet in the New 52.
That's a very complicated question.
Oh, it shouldn't be.
Oh, he put his mic down. Yeah. I don't think
dramatic
he's going to answer.
Dramatic pause for a drink.
No, I think it has happened, but just in a weird timeline. Is that?
That's a very complicated question.
Oh, shit. Man. He's taking another drink. Oh, put his mic
down let's
again.
Talk about your Oni Press title, Letter
44.
Oh, yeah, Letter 44.
Yes.
So this has been a pretty cool book. Can you lay...
lay down some jazz about it. If I could finish your sentence.
Thanks, bro.
Anytime, bro. Yeah. Is that what you were going to say?
I was going to say if you could lay out the basic concept of the book, but jazz also works.
Yeah.
Okay, so the basic concept of Letter 44 is you have a president, United States president, who comes into office. When he, on his first day in office, he gets the letter that's left on his desk by the preceding president, right? Which is, you know, a tradition we all know about.
Yep, certainly.
The letter says, hey man, congratulations, you're president now. Turns out it's a really tough job. Good luck. It's going to be particularly tough for you because we found aliens in the asteroid belt 7 years ago and didn't tell anyone. So good luck. So the president is kind of like, all right, whatever. And then the PS in the letter says, we actually sent up a mission 3 years ago to see what's up there. They're all American heroes. Take care of them. And so the story proceeds on two tracks. One is the president down on Earth, who's a cool dude. He's a cool dude.
He's a hep cat.
And he's rude.
He's a jazz guy.
He's a jazzy prez.
Yeah, he's a jazz guy. Yeah. Down on Earth, kind of dealing with all this and realizing that his whole, like, he can't do the things he thought he was going to do in his presidency because the world's not what he thought it was. And then the second track is the astronauts up in space getting closer and closer to defining what's there in their increasingly rickety, falling apart spaceship. So it's kind of West Wing meets Alien or West Wing meets 2001.
Whoa.
Cool. Yeah, it's very cool. The thing that I think is coolest about it is that each of the tracks has their own particular feel. You know, on Earth, it feels a little bit more like a political thriller and. In space, like you said, it's kind of more like Alien. It's a sci-fi thriller. Were you trying to aim for those two different tones when you're putting it together, or?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main inspirations behind this story was the idea that manned spaceflight is terrifying, and it is spectacular that we did it, and that we sort of are doing it now. And the idea, these astronauts by and large are the bravest people that have ever lived. It's unbelievable what they do.
And great at math.
Yes, super great at math.
Which is a hard combo.
Yeah, I mean it is true. They're like they're essentially superheroes, right? The things that they're capable of doing are just they're mind blowing. I mean they're all like no joke geniuses, and they're also physical, you know, perfect specimens.
Their greatest weakness, though, haircuts.
Yes, that's true.
Terrible haircuts.
That is true. That is true.
But they're busy.
Yes, they don't. Who has time?
I don't know. I need a haircut myself. Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Oh, is that your way of telling me that you want me to cut?
No, Justin, you look great.
Fishing for a compliment. Oh,
you look so good.
Issue 4 came out this past week.
Yes, issue 4 was out on Wednesday. It was the fourth issue.
I'll say, I won't spoil this, that had the craziest ending ever, I think. Like, you've been ratcheting it up on the political thriller side, but this... In terms of the sci-fi side, definitely had the craziest ending.
Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Nope.
Yep.
Nice.
Sure didn't.
My model for this series is like Why the Last Man or... actually, probably Why the Last Man, and only in the cliffhanger perspective because like he could end an issue, man. He can.
Yeah,
Saga,
yeah.
Whatever. Like he knows how to end an issue, and I figure like you got to leave.
Got to do it.
Got to do it, right?
The whole thing about comics is that
That wall page. Comes down. Would yeah, you, like you gotta. Oh my god, I gotta get it again.
Would you say that's one of the funner things about writing comics is when you get to do write something like that and then be able to be like, didn't see that coming, huh?
There is nothing that is not fun about writing comics. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
about writing comics
not
is fun.
Futter, not
yeah,
futter.
Yeah, guys. But that is like being able to play with the medium that way is great, you know, and. You know, knowing that the monthly books will work that way is really cool. Even a page turn, man, you can do a lot with a page turn, right? You have some little tight, so you script a page where it's all like, you know, a 9-panel page. Everybody's talking, everybody's like tight, and then you open it up. The next page is a 2-page spread. Like, yeah. It's just amazing the stuff you can do. It's
yeah,
magic.
You have like one page, and somebody's like, "Oh my god, she's dead!" And then you flip the page, and they're like, "Or is she?"
Yeah, and then they're like, "Ooh, an ad for
you
a
should,
movie."
You guys should write comics.
Yeah, we
really get it.
You should put that in the script, Justin.
You should check out
next page
Justin's
ad.
Haircut.
Yeah, check out coming up. We have coming out this week. We have my haircut.
Right.
We have your death, your impending death.
Right.
Once
well,
we
I punch
each
his
other.
Haircut.
Yeah.
At the same time as his haircut punches my haircut, and we die.
And then we have
spoiler. Or do we?
And then we have my comic called Bullets and Guns.
Okay. It's a romance comic.
Yeah.
Are you still enjoying Punisher and Thunderbolts, by the way?
Yeah, very much so.
Good.
Yeah. Are you writing so many books now that, like, you can't, like, if someone brought you another idea, you would just be like, I mean, it's just too much.
I'm full.
Yeah.
You mean, like, if someone came to me with another series?
Yeah, because I feel like you are doing so much amazing stuff, like, right now, it almost seems ridiculous. I mean that in a compliment.
Seems ridiculous.
Yeah. But well, it's a lot.
I
you don't think
you,
so?
You put up a blog post about this,
yep.
Where you broke down your sort of work workflow.
Yeah. How I do it.
Yeah. It's yeah. Check that out. It's awesome.
Yeah. My blog is at charlessoul.wordpress.com.
Yeah. If cool. WordPress.
Now, where does coming to live podcasts fit into that workflow?
You know, sometimes you need to. Hang out and have a few beers and not think about stuff. Because I think, you know, the subconscious,
yeah, just relax,
you have to let it go.
Comic writing. Yeah, just talk about comic writing.
Yeah, pretty much. At least I'm not writing a comic right now. I am writing a comic right now. It's just
in the back of his brain.
Man.
He's just laying down some verbal jazz. You know what we're talking about.
I know, bro. Anything else you want to plug before we move on?
We have skipped a few of my titles.
Oh, no. Right. We've been talking for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how...
So hit us up.
I'm also writing Red Lanterns from DC, which is a super kick-ass biker gang in space led by Guy Gardner, who has gotten the coolest mustache in comics in the last couple issues. I'm writing Swamp Thing, which is
and let me say, I love your Swamp Thing. It's
thank
been
you very,
very
much.
Good. The Cedar.
Don't say that. That's gross.
I love your Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
The Cedar storyline I thought was just great.
Thank you really very much. Stuff. Swamp Thing is a kind of almost weird horror, but like creepy, awesome, supernaturally tinted thing about a plant man that's really fun to write.
Yeah, but also he was like, I want to be Swamp Thing when this other guy was Swamp Thing. So it's also like a brothers or something.
Yeah, sort of. And then finally, I have this series Inhuman coming up from Marvel in just a few months with Joe Mad on art.
Amazing.
Which is going to be unbelievable. I mean, it's really, really, really going to be cool. I'm using all of my like epic fantasy kind of muscles, and it's really something. So there you go. I think that's all seven. So I think we can move on now.
Thank all right, close guys, call. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week that we particularly like, starting with Pete's pick. Which is not Thor number one.
It's Thor number one.
It's not Thor number
it's
one.
It's Thor number one.
Nope, it's Thor number 19.now.
No, it's Thor number one. It
no,
says number one on the
all
top right hand
so
corner
Pete
in the giant
me he
number
to talk
one.
About Thor number one, and I said, Pete, that came out 19 months ago. What are you talking about?
Right.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, bad.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Marvel is kind of doing a bunch of number ones right now.
I will say, for those of you who can't see the cover, there's a gigantic number one on it and a very small number 19.
It is confusing.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But it's the first part of an arc. Pete, what did you like about this book?
Well, first of all, it's a great jumping on point.
It's a number one.
Even though it's 19. So if you're like, oh, man, I've heard about this Thor, but when do I jump in? Jump in now. Also, the art's amazing. Jason Aaron does an amazing job. But I kind of like, I feel like Justin a little bit. I like the relationship thing here with Thor. It's kind of adorable.
It's a great relationship. Thor has sort of a girlfriend.
Yeah. So if you're not reading the book, this is dealing with environmental terrorists, which is kind of a new thing for Thor, who usually goes around hitting stuff. And he has a girlfriend who's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who's into environmental issues. So he kind of helps her out, taking out these guys that are trying to destroy the environment.
The thing that strikes me about this issue is that the name of the artist looks like a word scramble. Like you're at, you know.
That's culturally insensitive, especially for someone whose name is difficult to pronounce.
I have no idea how to say even
Assad Ribic?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Ribic.
Is it?
That's how I remember it.
Yeah. It's you just think of Chronicles of Riddick.
How do you say the anchor colorist names?
No one's ever said that name before.
No one has ever said his name before.
What?
Ive
Sforskina.
Sforskina.
Even editor Jordan D. White doesn't know. He doesn't know.
But that's just a letter jumble. That's not a real person, right?
Well, that's what I mean. It's a letter jumble. It's like
this
in
is
the,
great.
Is there a secret message in these names?
It's like on the kids' menu.
It's a very confusing cover. You got a number one, then you got like a bunch of letters over here.
Well, I got to say, I got to give props to Marvel because they're trying to get new readers. People love word jumbles.
I do the jumble every week.
It's a fun game on the cover.
Paper.
Exactly. But I will say that the jumble artists did a spectacular job. This is beautiful art.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It is very nice.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is a gorgeous issue. This comic is great. If you're worried about too much continuity in comics, one of the things that Jason Aaron does wonderfully is he does gigantic action, but makes every single issue completely accessible for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether it's a number one, number 19, or anything like that.
Or both.
And here, it's just fun. This guy, this evil environmentalist guy, evil corporation guy. Yep, there's a Deadpool number one.
No, it's not number one. It's number, who knows?
25,
but he thinks tacos are number one on the cover.
Gotcha.
And so.
Oh, man, Marvel, you got to stop.
We're just going to have to guess what the number is.
No, they're all number one. It's you don't have to guess.
I mean,
they're
that's the
one.
Secret dream of every comic book, to be only producing number ones every month.
It's going to say a number, I don't know.
But it's also, I think it's just such a funny, because I get it, like number one sell like twice as much as any other number almost. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the whole point of the numbers was to keep track of what issue it was. Yeah. And now it's almost impossible to do that.
But well, because Pete's I still lost. Can't tell. So do the point nows, are those separate issues that take place between the issues?
Thought they were, but I don't think they are now. The numbers keep moving up. But here's the question. Will it always be point now? Is it going to be point now until it's point next?
Let's hope it's not point,
is point
then.
Next, next. Is point next next? Or is point soon coming?
No, you know it's going to be point soon? It's going to be point wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly.
That's pretty nice. Yeah.
Anyway, this
Marvel point
bad.
Just real quickly, the art is... So there's this one part where Thor is punching a frost giant and is like so beautiful and such a just an amazing funny panel in the middle of this great story.
You're getting that
it's gorgeous
on your back,
art,
right?
Gorgeous art.
If I was going to get a tattoo,
it would be a giant full back.
Where would
tat.
You get it? Oh, on your back, not your tummy.
Yeah, not on my tummy.
Or like maybe right here.
Right above your nuts.
Like right above
that's a ridiculous place to get a
tattoo.
That's
just, remember, cool. We talked about it.
All right, let's move on to Superior Spider-Man. Not number one. Not number one. Number 27 point now.
27 point now.
Which was just
collector's
pick.
Item. Yes, indeed.
I was almost forced to read this.
Oh, you did read it.
I read five pages in, and I was like, you got to be kidding me, and then I put it down.
That's not a great thing to admit on our comic book talk show.
This comic is great. If you haven't been reading it, just very quick recap. But Spider-Man is secretly Dr. Octopus. He's been
what?
I know. Yeah. Spoilers.
Just when you thought it couldn't get more ridiculous,
and now
it
he's been
did.
Put in a situation where he's come into conflict with Spider-Man's greatest enemy, the Green Goblin. What's going to happen next?
I think Dan Slott hates people. I think
he hates people?
Yeah,
readers.
He hates people, all walks of life.
He hates Ritz Johnson, based on the Twitter back and forth.
Yeah,
a couple days.
So in this, we're finally coming to a head. He's been for, I don't know how many issues, 20 issues, been teasing the Green Goblin.
Felt like forever.
As this sort of secret.
I'd say approximately 27. But,
Yeah. Well, did it come in number one?
Maybe true.
But anyway, so it's been building to this, and I feel like, and Peter Parker has been revealed to be still residing in his own brain. Underneath the yoke of Dr. Octopus. But we have...
Even though he did say he killed him and got rid of him.
But he came back.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a line of dialogue right here where Peter Parker, who apparently has some weird eye patch now, says, Uatu Jackson. This is Peter Parker. So I guess he is back. But Uatu? Uatu is the Watcher.
No, he's not back. Okay, so he's not back. That's... Dr. Octopus as Peter Parker. Saying,
oh,
Peter
yeah.
Parker.
So, but yeah.
Uatu Jackson is one of his fellow scientists.
Uatu is the Watcher.
Yeah.
He's named after the Watcher.
Uatu Jackson.
He's named after the Watcher.
That is the best comic book name. Well, that's really saying something. It's a very good comic book name.
Yeah.
Uatu Jackson. People.
Can I mention the best comic book name?
Of course.
All right. This is actually my wife said this to me today.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, well.
And
she said
you.
The best.
You know
Alex,
there's other people
Alex.
In the room.
It's Alex Albin,
it's
right?
Yeah, Alex
no,
Albin.
No. This is a pretty good name. That the name you should name your kid is Gotham. Because
Gotham?
In the middle of the night, if your baby's crying and you're totally like sleepy, you don't want to get up, you turn over to your husband and you say, Gotham needs you. You always want to get up.
I'm loving it. Well, you're
amazing.
You're looking at baby names right now, right?
We are looking at baby names.
And so right you now. Think Gotham? You're
We're thinking
go
Gotham.
If you,
what comic book character are you going to name your child?
Yeah, because you already have Penny, which is kind of a Batman
say,
reference
I,
anyway.
Just, what?
There's a penny, giant
penny.
In the Batcave.
You know,
yeah,
the Batcave.
We're thinking for this one.
Yeah,
giant,
T-Rex would be the
giant
next one.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, or a giant playing card.
Yeah.
Go with that.
Dead Robin costume.
This is my son, Dead Robin costume with Alvin.
These are all very good.
Call him DRC.
Dirk. We just call him Dirk.
Dirk.
Yep. Where's your name come from? Ugh. My dad's a huge,
call me Dirk.
My dad's a huge dork. I'm a football player.
I will tell you.
I bully him.
It is kind of a problem coming up with names because we're going to have a boy, and so there's a lot of good names.
Yeah.
That we could use, okay. But I don't want to name the kid anything that anybody's going to be like, oh, you named him Xavier after Charles Xavier, you asshole.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's cool. We'll make fun of you. But,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's just say, here are the names we will make fun of you if you use.
Cool. Just name him Charles.
Doug Ramsey's Albin.
I suggest
yeah,
that.
Cool.
Go on.
Charles.
Well, Charles, after Xavier, Charles Xavier.
Sure, sure,
and then
sure,
he
sure.
could, because I... All right.
Frank Castle Zalbin.
Oh, yeah. Greatest.
Great. He'll kill,
greatest name
he'll ever. Kill criminals over Twitter.
It's pretty good.
Oh, man. That's a great name.
So yeah. I think we pretty much covered Superior Spider-Man.
Anyway, I thought this is a good read. I like that. I feel like we're finally getting
somewhere. Oh, you
thought
this was a good read?
Yeah. Peter Parker's back. How can you not like this? Peter Parker is
He's not back.
Out.
He's He had to. We're playing this stupid shell game where. People are jumping into other people's bodies to exist. This is awful.
Well,
okay. I want Spider-Man to be actually
read,
about it.
If you had actually read the goddamn issue.
Well, I'm sorry that I got angry and was like, this is ridiculous.
All right. So you hate this, right?
Yes.
You want Dr. Octopus, Peter Parker to go away, right?
Yeah, I want
so
it to go
Peter
back.
Peter Parker comes back in this issue. By the end of this issue, his hideout is blown up and being attacked by the Green Goblin forces, and he's pretty much losing everything.
Yeah, who are
Good,
you? Are you, rooting for Green Goblin in this?
No.
I think you are. You must be if you're anti Peter Parker. Whose side are you on, bro?
I'm so confused right now. No, I want Peter Parker to be Peter Parker, and I want Peter Parker to be fucking Spider-Man.
You sound like a crazy person.
What do you guys?
Astute audience member pointed out that you just said you want Peter Parker to be fucking Spider-Man. And that's. Logistically
difficult.
I want
Peter Parker to be Spider-Man. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
You know what's going to happen? I'm just going to predict this right now. Peter Parker comes back in a different body. Dr. Octopus is still in Peter Parker's body. And Peter Parker's like, you know what we got to do now, bro? We got to fuck.
No.
Let's do this. Let's get your Dr. Octopus on.
Oh, my God. What?
Alex
what just happened?
Alex Salvin, your wife is here.
Your wife is here, who is pregnant right now.
Your unborn child heard you say Dr. Octopus.
Yeah. She's pregnant with little Dr. Octopus Salvin.
Oh, my God.
It's a little cocky to name your kid doctor. Wait till after he finishes medical school.
All right, let's move on with our last pick. Fuse number one.
Yes. Charles just left because he was so disgusted with that comment, by the way.
Yeah, he'll come back.
Yeah, I think so.
He'll always come back.
Fuse number one by Anthony Johnston and Justin Greenwood. I thought this was a great read. This is kind of a mix of cop dramas and sci-fi. One of the best part about it is Justin Greenwood's art.
Yes.
I think
art.
It makes it really unique.
It reminds me of Umbrella Academy.
The art style
and the lettering is also right out of Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. So it's basically this cop from Germany in the future travels to a space station just to get away from something. We don't know exactly what it is yet. Is teamed up with this very, very old female cop, and they have to solve a mystery on the space station when they are the only two cops around. They're on the Russia shift, which is the night shift. And it's cool. There's good dialogue. It's a good mystery. Like I said, I think the art is great. And he talks about this a little bit in the back, but it's, you know, a mix of dirty, grimy cop dramas and sci-fi. That's the sort of stuff he grew up, Anthony Johnston grew up reading, and he wanted to infuse this comic with it, and it's a lot of fun.
Infuse. But I think it doesn't feel like it's like, oh, I want to do these genres. It feels like a good story that's just set in the combination of these two worlds. I thought it was really good as well.
Yeah. Pete, what'd you think about it?
I really liked it. I think, though, that this is a good example of a comic that would be better to actually have than reading on an iPad, because you miss a couple spreads. Like if you had the comic, you could open up and see it be a full page spread, but instead it's kind of broken up.
You gotta use your imagination.
Yeah, I had to, which is it's exhausting.
It hurts. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. The art's great. The story's amazing. It was also nice that we had people make German references, and it didn't have to also then. Like, it was just, the guy was just German. There was no, like, oh, Nazis, you know what I mean? Like, he was just a German guy. It was fine.
Oh, German guy. He's probably holding pretzels.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I want to mention, I was actually in Germany just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. All Nazis holding pretzels. It was weird.
In Lederhosen.
Wearing Lederhosen. Holding and drinking beer. Yep.
That must have been very comfortable for you.
It was great.
Yeah, you love pretzels.
I do. I'll forgive anything for a pretzel.
What?
Wow.
I don't know. That was awkward. Guys, that's it for the stats.
Yeah!
All right. Now it's time for my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to me.
Yeah.
So you guys can come up with questions on absolutely anything, as long as it's geeky, as long as maybe it has to do something with comic books.
Or our personal
lives. It could certainly be for this guy over here, Charles Saul. Yes, you, sir, that I do not know.
All right. Sorry, guys. This one is actually just for Charles.
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry. You guys can answer it, though.
That's why we'll answer.
You can answer. So I've been loving your take on Swamp Thing.
Thank you.
And I love that getting rid of his body, you're able to bring some of that Alan Moore's powers set into it. But I really just want to hear, like, what were your thoughts going into this series? Like, what did you want to accomplish with the character? And those kinds of
A couple of different things. First, when I first started, I wanted to, you know, I was, you know, Swamp Thing is a book that has been written by some of the best writers in comics, period, right? Alan Moore, as you mentioned, as everybody mentions when you're writing Swamp Thing, as everybody mentions all the time.
Does that bother you?
You know, at first it was like, okay, this is part of writing Swamp Thing. You know, and it's not just Alan Moore, it's Brian K. Vaughan, it's Grant Morrison, it's Mark Miller, it's
Charles Soule.
Dysart. Yep. Well, we're great. Getting to that.
You want to get back at Alan Moore, just put his name in the comic.
Well, in the annual, so just before I even get to the annual, it was a thing where I wanted to. I started out just trying to want to survive writing Swamp Thing, wanting to put out issues that were not going to drastically embarrass the legacy of Swamp Thing, which frankly has had some of the best stories that have ever been written in the medium, I think.
Yep.
So, and I also desperately wanted, I honestly thought I might get fired after two issues. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I put Superman into my first two issues because I was like, if I'm going to get fired after two issues, I want to at least be able to say I've written Superman. Right. So that's why he shows up in the first two issues. So, but then over time, I feel like I've got my sort of my footing on Swamp Thing, and I now it's more like I feel like there's an enormous shadow that hangs over Swamp Thing, which is Alan Moore's run, and he contributed so much. He wrote incredible stories, but that doesn't mean there can't be other stories that are done that are good too. And so that's why in the annual I actually had Alan Moore's Swamp Thing show up and have a dialogue with my Swamp Thing and talk about, you know, what it means to write a story when somebody else has already written stories about that character and so on and so forth. So that is, I don't think the subtext was that, you know, it was pretty, it wasn't really subtext, it was text, but it was, that's why that happened. And I wanted to kind of address the Alan Moore, you know, shadow a little bit.
So. It was cool. And I don't quite remember the dialogue, but it was like, just say no sometimes.
Yeah. Just, you know, do so your cool. thing, right? Yeah. Like, don't.
And I thought that was an interesting, like, it was true for the characters, maybe true to you about dealing with the ghosts of these other writers. And it also fit into the story. It was a really, like, triple meaning
it was
moment.
A triple threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It meant a lot to me to do it. It was nice that they, one of the things that's cool about Swamp Thing is that you can get away with a lot of weird stuff. Like, you know, you can do things like that. And like in the script that guy was called Moore Thing. And, you know, like, so it was, I don't know. It was fun. It was fun.
Cool. Awesome. All right. You're going to get some free comics. Question from you, sir, over there. Yeah. Coming up. Here.
Real Ricky Lake. Yeah. Alex Allen playing the Ricky Lake of the show right now.
This question's also for our guest.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Let me just check my phone for a little bit.
Yep.
Why are you so angry that he's getting questions?
I don't know. No, I'm not angry.
Never coming on again. I'm never being good again.
Oh, no.
All right, let's get him going then.
Outside of comics, is there a character that you would like to write for?
A character not in comics?
Yeah, like so you Jordan mean, G. White, Justin yeah. Tyler.
Well, do you mean like write in a movie or something?
Would you like
that?
To write a person?
You know what I would love to write? I would love to write a story with Clint Eastwood back in his like Man with No Name days.
Ooh.
You know, like Fistful of Dollars, like yeah. that kind of Clint Eastwood. That would be a dream. Yeah, it would be amazing. So,
like cool. an unstoppable man.
Yeah, just awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
That's cool.
I'm
yeah,
curious. Justin. You could have your choice. Any public domain character.
Any public domain? Well, let me tell you, it reminds me of a story. I was, years ago, I worked at a restaurant, and this is a slightly long story, but we had all this art on the wall, and there's a Paul Pope print on the wall, because the owner of the restaurant printed Paul Pope's work. And I always talked it up to people sitting at the bar, and the guy sitting at the bar was like, oh, I love this print, pointing to another one. And I was like, that one's cool, but this one is cool. It's by Paul Pope. He's a comic book guy. And he goes, oh, I'm Paul Pope. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And so we talked for a long time. I poured him several glasses of wine, and we had these brown mats on the bar. He's got his brush pen out, and he goes, name any character from all of history outside of comics that you would want name any character, and I'll draw it. And I was like, oh, give me a minute. And I went in the back and just, like, sort of panicked a little bit. And I was like, oh, holy shit, what do I do? What do I think of? And I don't know why, but I came back and I said the Minotaur from Greek mythology.
Wow. Not in comics, he said?
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, he did say in comics or outside of comics.
The Minotaur.
I feel like
I bet that, yeah, that's cool. All right.
And he drew this wicked Theseus killing the Minotaur, and it's like has this text that he wrote, like, the Minotaur wasn't born to be evil, but he still suffered the fate of the vanquished. It's this epic picture. Yeah, it's awesome. I have it framed in my apartment. But
that's cool.
But yeah, something like that, where you're taking a character, Minotaur, get inside his head.
Cool. Pete, what about you?
Frankenstein.
No story behind it.
Well, I just...
The monster or the scientist?
The monster.
Okay. Or, I'm sorry, I, Frankenstein.
You want to write Aaron Eckhart?
No, I just...
Did you say Frankencastle or Frankenstein?
No, fuck you. And, yeah, fuck that.
So you would want to write, like, the perfect Frankencastle story?
No.
Where he, like...
Great answer, Pete. Great answer. Let's move on.
Who's I didn't even get to...
Oh, we got a question. We have a question over here, Pete. We already got your Frankencastle answer, Pete.
I love Outcasts and Monsters, so I thought, yeah, all right, fuck you.
Okay. But anyway, one more question for Mr. Soul here. Have you ever come across anybody who's a clientele that's actually a fan of yours?
So you're talking about a lawyer, like a legal client, like, who... who knows my comic side.
Yeah, somebody comes in and is like, I have this case you have to try. It's the case of all these comics that need siding.
Yeah. that has not happened yet, although I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm starting to become more known, you know, in the comics world, and there's what I'm learning, particularly with She-Hulk being on, is that there's a lot of overlap. Like, there's a lot of lawyers who read She-Hulk. I've been hearing from a lot of lawyers who are like, thank you for writing lawyers as, like, you know, not monsters.
On Twitter, you've been a lot of lawyers being like, oh, thank God. Like, lawyers have been at home reading, like, Avengers being like, bah!
No lawyers!
No comics for me! When will they write a comic for me?
It's so funny.
And
I love
so
that.
So now they're
such
they
sensitive
have their
souls,
comic.
Lawyers.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's cool. I mean, that's nice to know that I'm getting the professional angle right. And there was actually a point in, there's a solicit, I'm not going to be specific about that, but there's a solicit for an issue, an upcoming issue of Swamp Thing, where they got something wrong. They described the legal case incorrectly. And I'm like, this is the one thing I'm desperate to get right in this book is, like, the legal stuff. Thank God it was just a solicit that nobody reads. But if it was in the book somehow, I would have been terrible. Well, but so
it's on paper, so legally I think it does stand.
So as yet, no clients have called up and said, are you that guy? You know, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe one day.
Cool. All right. I think we can take one more question over here.
Oh,
yes.
Oh no.
did the death of Superman happen in the Letter 44 universe, and how does it inform the story either way?
That's a great question from Jordan D. White, editor of Thunderbolts.
Yes.
The most
beloved
book on stage.
You know, the funny thing is that while the death of Superman did not happen in the Letter 44 universe, the clone, like, teenage, annoying Superboy did. So
it's a great choice.
Bold.
So he showed up and he was like, where's the other guys? Where are the other three?
Yeah.
It's just me. What's going
on? He
was
like, yeah, let me just add some more buttons to my jean jacket.
I feel like I've already spoiled enough. So keep reading Letter 44 if you like annoying 90s clone Superboy.
With tactile telekinesis.
He'll be there. He'll be there. What's his name? Was that Kal-El? No. He ended up being
Kal-El. Yeah, Kal-El, because he became Connor Kent.
Yeah. Connor Kent. Yes.
Comics.
But he just had a bad haircut for so long.
Yeah. He's actually the vice president in the book.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Makes sense.
Yeah, wow. Of course it does.
It's all
House of Cards.
Does.
House of Cards. Absolutely.
Season 2. Check it
good,
out.
Good reference. Good card reference. Orange is the new black.
It's not out yet, so
all right. All right. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, audience. All right, guys. We're going to have to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Nice.
End of the Week in Geek. We're going to very quickly talk about some geek culture topics, things that are happening elsewhere in the world of geek.
Yeah.
Starting off with Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
New episode this week. Had a little bit of an anthology.
I have not seen it yet.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay. You guys talk. I'm going to go get another beer.
Okay.
I'll be right
back. That sounds good. Yep.
Totally cool.
So Rick dies.
Yep.
Yeah, he does. Oh, what a...
Oh, jeez.
Rick dies.
Oh. Well, okay, so it happened...
And Swamp Thing dies.
Swamp Thing dies.
Yeah, it was weird that Swamp Thing appeared and then later died in one episode of Walking Dead.
So we were pretty high on the first episode.
We were pretty high.
We were wasted.
We were pretty high.
Well, we talk about this before Charles gets back, guys.
Okay.
So it had a bit of an anthology format, focusing on the characters who were left after the prison exploded at the end of the half season. Mm. What'd you guys think about this episode?
I thought it was great. I feel like this season, both the half season before and these two episodes, are just getting better and better. I've loved every all the moments are very good. It's shot. It's, like, so much more beautifully shot. I love the way they're sort of being smarter about the storytelling, crossing it over in little bits and pieces. It's I look forward to where they're going.
I really thought this episode was a lot better than the last one. Very intense. That whole bus sequence was just heart-wrenching, especially when Maggie just started crying and then slowly turned into laughter. I was like, no! Oh, God, thank God.
She must have read a great joke.
Yeah.
Where do you get an introduction of some characters from the comic books at the very end?
Yeah, Abraham, Rosita, Eugene.
Where do we think this season is going to end up, and what is next season going to be?
Oh, boy. I don't know if they're going to make it to the community for the comic books by the end of the season. I'm not sure.
Really interesting. I think they are. I think next season is going to be... I think we're going to get to Negan next season.
What?
Here's my
question. That's way too fast. Do you think
we're going to get to Negan by the end of this season?
I think it might be the end of season reveal.
Yeah.
If I had to predict, I would say that.
Did you think it was bullshit, that little...
Charles kept
showing the shoe, and then that didn't pan out? They just kind of ignored it, like that didn't happen?
Nah, shoes are just...
No, that was bullshit. They specifically showed that shoe from the girl who was walking around, and then she didn't fucking lose the shoe, so
I will say, best thing about that shoe, Chandler Riggs tweeted during the episode... Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl, tweeted during the episode, "Hey, can you guys pick that up? I need a shoe." Which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, makes sense.
Cute kid.
Good joke. He thought of that.
Good joke.
Good joke, Carl.
Good joke, Riggs.
Okay,
all right, let's move on to not spoilery stuff.
Perfect timing, I'm back.
We can talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I got to go get a beer.
None of us have seen it.
Well, yeah. Crazy twist, the movie was 15 seconds long, released online today.
Yep.
Very weird.
Which infuriated some. Some people do not like teasers for trailers.
Tweezers, that's what we're calling them.
Oh, tweezers?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But there you go. They released 15 seconds of the trailer. Tonight, the full trailer is going up on Jimmy Kimmel. If you're listening to this tomorrow, it's already up. You already saw it. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed it. That's all
we
had to
say
about
that. What are you guys looking forward to? What do you need to see in the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer to get excited?
I just want to see Chris Pratt being fun. I feel like that. I want the movie to be about him, and I think it will be. And I think this is going to be a very fun Marvel movie. The Iron Man... movies, I feel like, started in that fun place with Robert Downey Jr., and then they had to get more serious. I want to sort of reset on that and make the next wave about
that. I felt like that 15 seconds got me very excited. I don't need anything else. So that was just amazing, and I feel like the trailer's just going to have more of that. I didn't think I would be as excited for this movie as I am. But I'm really geeked
in all the Hollywood blogs and stuff, they're like, Guardians of the Galaxy, finally on the big screen. It's like, no one asked for this movie. Like, we're excited about it, but one said, we got to see those dudes on screen.
The thing that has had me excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, basically since San Diego, I mean, I think what Abnett and Lanning did was amazing.
Like, yeah.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be great. But I read a report from San Diego Comic-Con last summer where they showed a bunch of footage, I guess. And it sounds like it was Star-Lord, who's Chris Pratt. He puts on like an old like Sony Walkman and presses play on a cassette. And it's like More Than a Feeling by Boston or some like cheesy song.
Hooked on a Feeling, yeah.
Yeah, oh, Hooked on a Feeling, okay. Yeah. And he goes and has like some crazy space adventure while he's listening to that on his... Like, everything about that made me feel like this is going to be so different good and so cool. So
I'll tell you,
I'm on board.
I hit up Toy Fair a little bit this weekend to check out some stuff. And the Walkman that he has, it's an old 80s tape Walkman, and it's in pretty much all of the toys. It's such a weird,
that's great, but a weird,
awesome
specific
thing.
Choice.
Yeah. And
well,
they,
James Gunn is a weird director. Like, his movies are bizarre. It's so, yeah. We'll
and
see.
It's from, they had a talking Star-Lord Chris Pratt doll that Chris Pratt actually recorded the lines for. They went to the London set and just sort of pulled him over during takes and recorded takes with him. But apparently, I talked to the Hasbro rep, they never get the actors to actually do it. But he was super excited about the toy, so they got him to do it. And the stuff they have him say is crazy. Like, it's just him doing his Chris Pratt laugh and being like, I'm blasting you with my blaster, and things like that. And it's amazing. Like, the whole thing.
How did you get to go to Toy Fair?
Press.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's press. Like, you did a bench press. You maxed out on bench press.
Did you wear, like, a hat with a press card in it?
And yeah, like, and I was like, scoops.
Yeah, you were for the
scoops.
You were for the Daily Bugle.
One of those cameras around your neck with the...
Yeah, Daily Bugle. We all died.
Oh.
Oh, sad.
Sad.
Yeah, but it looks great. I'll also add, just from the Toy Fair experience, they showed off all of the toys. I got to see the Legos, which we weren't allowed to take pictures of. They're awesome looking.
Never take pictures of Legos.
No, because they're not showing them off yet. But they look cool. Like, the Lego Groot was way taller than the rest. You have to build him. You have to build a Lego Groot, which is just a fun thing to do.
Who has the time?
Shut up.
Sorry, I was late for work today. I was building my Lego group. You're fired.
Well, do you think the big thing people are asking, and we're probably not going to see it, but are we going to get to see any Thanos?
Don't see if they, especially with Ultron being what ostensibly Avengers 2 is about, if we don't see Thanos, then what was the point of that at the end of Avengers?
Yeah.
So I think we have to see
him. Well, do you think we're going to see him in the trailer? Or
no. I think, in fact, I don't think...
Another post-credits Thanos?
He'll be around. Maybe he's like a... big bad, like, that we don't really deal with yet.
Okay.
Do you think he'll be a cloud like Galactus was in Fantastic Four?
I think he's going to be a raindrop.
Like he was in the first Hulk.
Clouds are terrifying.
Yeah.
There's been
three superhero movies where the hero fights clouds.
What's
Hulk,
the third one?
Green Lantern. Parallax.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's good.
I mean, just think about it. Clouds
it wasn't
are
good. Good is the wrong word. It was a choice. It was a creative choice they made.
Right. Yeah. Well, since
it was a budgetary choice they made.
Since time immemorial, man and clouds have always battled.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's just an expression of
you
that.
Can't kill a cloud with a sword. I've tried.
You could. Yeah.
That was profound. And that's it for the week of geek.
Yeah!
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter L. LePage.
Yeah.
Peter Marker LePage.
Stands for love it.
Dr. Cocktopus, we call him, right?
No, we do not. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25, a simple raise? Yes, you, first hand up guy. Come on up. I'm going to need a microphone.
Yeah, of course.
Sir, what is your name?
Paul.
Paul, audience? Audience Paul.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
All right, Paul, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because you would spend your money on comics anyway, so we're just helping you out. All right, here we go. And question number one. In Batman number 28, we leap ahead to blank. Is it A, Batman Eternal, B, Batman Always Dark, or is it C, Batman Little Gotham? So it's either A, which is the only one that is actually... Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right, nice job, Paul. You get the hang of this. All right.
He doesn't want to hear it from you.
Yeah, I guess not. All right, here we go. Question number two. In Deadpool number 23, which we all know is awesome, they pay homage to blank. Is it A, Caddyshack, B, Alien, or is it C, Two Homages? So it's either A, Caddyshack, which is incorrect, or it's B, Alien.
I'm going to go with Alien.
Alien is correct, yes.
Great choice.
Nice job.
Great choices.
All right, here we go. The last one. In Walking Dead, number 121, we get a nice moment with Rick when he doesn't take blank with him. Is it A, the telephone, B, the picture, or is it C, man, that Kirkman guy is awesome? So it's either A, the telephone.
I'm going to go with A, the telephone.
You are correct, nice. Sir. $25 free. See me after the show. I'll give you your gift card.
Unbelievable. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yeah, they have.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman number 28 and Punisher number 2.
Oh, just threw two in there.
why are you looking forward to them, Pete?
First of all, Punisher number 2, as a Punisher fan, it seems like we're getting it right. We're doing it really well, so I'm very excited about the series. And Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang are teamed up on Wonder Woman. And for me, it's never been so amazing. So I've been really enjoying every single issue that they've been doing together.
That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to Adventure Time number 25. Because that comic is very fun if you like the show, which I do very much. And this comic is sometimes better than the show. So yeah,
that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is. And Ryan North is crushing the writing on that.
I'm looking forward to Unwritten Apocalypse number 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
This is a second series for the Story About Stories Vertigo comic. It's ending in spectacular fashion. The last issue was incredible structure, unlike anything else.
Yeah.
I don't even want to necessarily describe it because it would take too long. Suffice to say, pick up Unwritten. It's fantastic. Also, Alex and Ada, number 4, is coming out. And I mentioned this book on the show before. It's great. It's about a guy who ends up with an android sex bot. He doesn't want to have sex with her, but he does want to be friends with her. But she doesn't do anything. She has no independent thoughts. So he ends up joining up with this community of people who are trying to give androids independent thoughts. I've read that.
Sounds a little forced.
Wow.
I know. It just seems a little Forrest, what can I say? Is it great?
Slam. It's pretty great.
All right, well,
The next issue is just pretty much him having a conversation with two people about whether he could give her a personality, and it's really good and really involving.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
And,
Really coming under fire. Hold on. Have you seen the movie Her, though? Because
there are four solid pages where they do nothing but sleep.
Well, this is the worst comic ever.
They
read another book, a more boring book in the book.
Oh, wow.
It only costs $9 an issue.
And
it's four pages long, and it's only $9. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
It's good. It's really good.
Talk about a browbeating.
Oh, boy. What are you looking forward to, Charles?
Slam.
There are four things I'm looking forward to.
Are they all your
books?
You can cut my...
No, actually, I have nothing coming out this Wednesday, which is...
How is that even possible?
I know, which is... stop clocks right twice a day kind of situation, I guess. You know, like that wheel comes up every once in a while. It is,
but you're
going to
go down
to... It is unusual.
You're going to go down to your local comic shop and just sell books, though, right? Just try to keep the wheels, grease the wheels, right?
Yeah. All right, so the four things we're looking forward to this week are Conan 25, which I believe is Brian Wood's last issue on the run, which I think has been spectacular.
Very good.
It's been amazing.
I'm looking forward to Daredevil 36. I know what's happening in Daredevil and coming up in Daredevil, rather, and this is going to be a really cool issue.
So you know insider secrets.
I sure do. Oh, and but yet I know them like plot-wise. I don't know the execution, so I'm very excited to see that issue. So Daredevil 36. I'm looking forward to White Suits number one by my friend Frank Barbieri, which is a book out. I believe Dark Horse is putting it out. It's, you know, the buzz from like, you know, you when you're in the community, you kind of hear what all the other guys are talking about, and everybody's talking about White Suits being a really cool thing. So that. And then finally, the thing I'm most looking forward to is the Walking Dead adhesive bandage, which is coming out tomorrow, according to the merchandise list.
Walking Dead adhesive bandage. Yeah.
So,
very good.
Yeah.
There you go.
What else do you want to plug? What's coming up? We've talked about She-Hulk. We've talked about Letter 44.
Well, I have books out almost every week. I hope you enjoy them and check them out.
You have been killing it.
The next big launch I have is really Inhuman in April. Yeah. But I think She-Hulk is really worth your time. There's some. You know what? It's all good. Anytime anyone buys anything with my name on it, I'm thrilled. Like an angel gets its wings kind of thing.
That's cocky.
So
cool. If we need legal help, where do we go?
Someone else. I'm trying to write comic books these days.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Cool. Next week on the show, Nat Townsend.
We have Nat Townsend coming down from the Moon Show. And
always a great guest.
And Nat Townsend's Downtown Variety over at the UCB Theater.
All right. So very cool. A couple of things we want to do.
Friend us on Facebook so you know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, I'm putting up the next issue of my comic strip, Captain Jones, the exciting conclusion of The Missing Girl. Ooh. And
where are you putting it up, Pete?
I'm putting it up on Twitter. Also, there's a new website.
Where on Twitter?
Real Pete LePage. Real Pete LePage.
At Real Pete LePage. Yeah,
who's your PR person?
Yeah, me. That's why it's not doing very well.
Pretty much.
And the new website is CaptainJoesComic.blogspot.com. Shouldn't drink and then try to think. It's a bad idea.
Don't drink and don't think.
Yep.
Cool.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at ComicBookClubLive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank this guy, Charles.
Yeah!
Thank you.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's for helping out the show. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
Yep.
Please tell your friends.
Don't drink and think.
Let me coach you through this.
Don't drink and think. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Marty, for coming out.
Woo-hoo.